Fuzzy TV.
Okay, I have some questions that were written out ahead of time by, I won't mention the names, but, and I have not read these ahead of time because I like to be spontaneous. When Dan Sheridan and I used to do our radio program, this guy came to the truth by listening to Dan and me in Indianapolis. He was driving around on his radio, and we used to make 5 shows at once, sometimes 15, because we would pre-record them. And I told Dan, we would start talking about the next show. I said, no, don't. I don't want to hear what you're going to just do it live. Here we go. I haven't looked at this. I asked my father once if Adam was the one who caused saints to come into this world. If Adam wouldn't have done that in the garden, would one of us had? Let me see if I understand this. I asked my father if Adam was the one who caused saints to come into this world. Sin. Cause sin, yeah, to come into the world. I would say the answer to that is yes, onto the earth anyway. If Adam wouldn't have done that in the garden, would one of us have? Any of us would have. And the same with Judas. If any one of us had been obsessed by Satan, we would have done the will of Satan. How can you resist a possession by the devil himself? And so... Definitely came through Adam.
Yep.
I mean, ultimately, it came from God, of course, do I have to say that? But through Adam came the sin onto the earth. However, this was not the first appearance of sin in the universe. There was a disruption of the world between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. God created the heavens and the earth, and the heavens became a chaos and vacant. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And so there was some kind of spiritual revolt in heaven at that time. So good question. Next, I haven't looked at this yet. And then we'll take some live if you want. Question from Galatians 3, verses 26 and 29. Did Paul receive new information after his letter to the Galatians, or new revelation concerning being heirs of the promise to Abraham to inherit the earth? It seems he told them in Galatians 3:29, I'll have to look at that, that those belonging to Christ are heirs of the promise to Abraham. Ah. When did the allotment change from sharing as co-heirs of the earth to the celestials? If it did change, wouldn't Paul have written a follow-up letter to stand corrected? Scripture cannot be broken. Whew, the questions from the saints make me sweat. I think I know where this is going. I don't know who wrote this, but you can tell a maturity of a saint by the type of questions they ask. Let's read Galatians 3:26-29. We got 12 minutes, and then we all can do our own thing here. Galatians 3:26. I'm not sure what this says. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For whoever are baptized into Christ put on Christ, in whom there is no Jew nor yet Greek. There is no slave nor yet free. There is no male and female, thank God. For you all are one in Christ Jesus. Now if you are Christ's, consequently you are of Abraham's seed, enjoyers of the allotment according to the promise. Okay, I see the first temptation here is to see that you're of Abraham's seed and to think that that is Paul saying that they were Israelites now. I mean, you can't turn a Gentile into an Israelite. You can't change a non-Jew into a Jew with a sentence. So this is obviously a figure of speech. Paul said, you are sons of Abraham. He even said he said that to women too. There are some women in his audience. He said, you're sons of Abraham. So that's a double figure of speech. They're not literally a son, and they're a son of Abraham in what way? You have to look at the context. Remember I spoke earlier about faith. Abraham's the father of faith. And so Abraham is the prototype Paul calls upon. Before Abraham was circumcised. Before Abraham. Abraham was a busy guy. Abraham was a busy guy. Because he stands for both the circumcision and the uncircumcision. He stands for us when he believed God before he was circumcised, before he became, really, technically, the one who would be the progenitor of Israel. And it was only after circumcision that he became the type of for Israel. He became an Israel guy. Abraham wasn't an Israel guy, because he was the grandfather of Israel, right? So anyone that's spoken of being as of Abraham is suggestive of we have also a promise that is concerned with being made righteous by means of the avenue of faith. So, and the allotment Paul's talking about, it doesn't say anywhere here that it's an earthly allotment, but I can see where the person who wrote this would think, well, since Abraham, I think Abraham's the one throwing all this off. That we're not literally children of Abraham. We're not of Abraham's seed. The nations are not of Abraham's seed, but it's the faith seed. It's the faith seed. Because look at verse 25, the context. Now, at the coming of faith, we're no longer under an escort. Verse 22, the scripture locks up altogether under sin, that the promise out of Christ Jesus' faith may be given to those who are believing. If the law then, verse 21, against the promises of God may not be coming to that, for if a law were given that was able to vivify, really, righteousness were out of law. All this is speaking of faith, and that's why Paul brings up Abraham.
He's talking about all the families of the earth being blessed, right? It goes way back, like you said.
True, yeah. The families of the earth were blessed in Abraham, and that was that's his earthly seed, yeah. Right? But in a sense, he also has a spiritual seed, in a sense, in that he's the father of faith, right? Because he believed God, and God reckoned him for righteousness. When God told him he'd be a father of many nations before there were any nations at all. So the allotment did not change. So Paul didn't have to write a follow-up letter correcting himself. Did Paul receive new information? No. I think Abraham's definitely throwing that whole thing off. I hope I answered that question. If I didn't.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Genesis 22:17.
Genesis 22:17.
Yes, this is God talking to Abraham or Abram. I shall bless you, increase your seed like the stars of heaven and like the sand of the seashore. Could that not be the talking about the stars of heavens? Could that not be little hint in the Old Testament of our celestial?
You remember the verse says that God brought up the verse here about God saying to Abraham he would multiply his seed like the sands of the sea and the stars of the heaven. And the question was, is that suggestive of Abraham having some role to play in a celestial allotment? I think so. You know, I read a book years ago, The Star Seed and the Sand Seed. But it'd be strange to find something suggesting the body of Christ in Genesis. Does anybody have any other thoughts on that? I'm not 100% sure of the answer.
New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven.
Yeah, that could be.
The heavenly city, Abraham.
You see, I don't really like making that star seed part have to do with the body of Christ, because there's no revelation concerning the body of Christ yet. Could be suggestive of it, but I'd rather have another answer, but that's the only one I got right now.
Okay.
What can I do?
I'll take it. I've got one.
Yeah, okay. What do you got there, Mike?
Well,
go ahead, speak. Stand up and talk.
Yeah, we are now taken out of the first Adam by God's hand and placed into the last Adam. The last Adam is Jesus Christ, who is of Abraham. And so therefore we are in Abraham's lineage now through the finished work of Jesus Christ and through being
spiritually.
Right.
Not right.
Right.
Grafted in.
Exactly. So we've been grafted in, we've been adopted by Abraham's lineage via Jesus Christ.
The grafting in isn't satisfying. Israel either. The grafting is into the root of the olive tree, which is the Abrahamic covenant, not the law.
But he's not talking about individuals there in Romans 11. He's talking about the nations were grafted in, right?
Yeah.
So people are always worried when they read Romans 11 when Paul says, if you're not careful, you'll be broken off the tree. He's speaking to, it's a national chapter. He's talking to nations. We can't be broken off.
Well, we're thinking of the stars and the sand. Mm-hmm. This would account for the numbers. Because God saved all.
Well, that would be, the only problem I have with that is there's probably more stars in the heaven than sand in the sea. And yet, I think there's fewer members of the body of Christ than there are Israel people. So I'm wondering now if it's both hyperbole, and it was just a hyperbolic statement. For a big number. Let's see. Sand of the sea, stars of the heaven. It's just another way of hyperbole saying that it's a lot. That's actually more satisfying to me.
But there are only 7,000 to 9,000 stars visible in the evening sky.
There's 7,000 to 9,000 stars visible in the evening sky?
Yeah, and so I mean you have a vast amount of sand compared with...
A vast amount of... Those are only the visible ones, though.
Right.
What about the invisible ones? Okay. Does anybody have any more questions? I don't have any more written questions. Those were the only two. Those were good questions. Thank you. Wait a minute. I do have another one. It's about the trumpet. How is there a trumpet sound immediately after the tribulation if the last trump sounds at the snatching away before the tribulation begins? Come on through. Yes, do you have a question? Thank you. I won't say who wrote it. She's cute. I like that. All right, I'll get to that after this. How is there a trumpet sound immediately after the tribulation if the last trump sounds at the snatching away before the tribulation begins? Last trump, 1 Corinthians 15:52. Trumpet after tribulation, Matthew 24:29-31. Is the last trump not the last trumpet sound? These are two different trumpets. These are two different trumpets. The seventh trump, actually there's trumpets that blow all through the book of Revelation. First trump, second trump, third trump, Donald Trump, I mean fourth trump. So, and Paul talks about, so there's several trumps. And when you see, here's the difference. People get tripped up here because they see the word trumpet. And so they get excited. Oh, trumpet. Must be the same trumpet. But no. Right. It's the last in a series when Christ comes for us. And plus, the trumpets in Revelation are followed by great woe and disasters and plagues. The seven trumpets are horrible. This trumpet in 1 Corinthians 15:52 is going to change us from mortality to immortality. So these are way different trumpets. I mean, you might as well say that the trumpet that starts the Kentucky Derby is... just because we see a trumpet... Don't worry, I'll never be getting that job. Just because we're seeing a trumpet doesn't mean that the trumpets are the same. But it's a common question. And then here's a follow-up, 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. Those who are alive and remain are snatched away to meet the dead in Christ. What is it? They survive. That's a great question. They survive, yeah. I talked about that. The apostasy, martyrdom, decapitation, the tribulation survivors? No, I don't think we're dealing with any of that. Well, don't worry. We're not going to have to worry about getting our heads chopped off. We do have to worry about the apostasy because we're in it. Martyrdom, no. I wish, almost.
Yeah,
I wish. Not because I want to get out of here, but because of the better resurrection.
Yeah.
If you're killed for the sake of the... Whew, watch out, baby. Just stand back at the dais. Who among us are going to get martyred for this? You know, Seth is. He raised his hand back there. You got plans? You got plans? Count me in. Paul was, James was, John was, all the apostles were martyred. Many people through the years were martyred. So we were just talking about the guy, who's the guy that translated the scriptures and gave it to everybody? Wycliffe? No, not Wycliffe, but
Tyndale?
Wesley? I don't know, somebody. There's a lot of brave men that made sure people got the scripture.
Tyndale.
Tyndale was burned at the stake for giving common people the Bible. And so these men were martyred, so watch out. Even wasn't in the body of Christ, but you know it's all prorated, you know. So we're okay. So what are we surviving? We're just plain surviving. I just think we're like the Survivor show, like we're straight, the last one standing. This is how I think we're so. I don't think we're surviving the plagues. I don't think we're surviving the apostasy, martyrdom, or decapitation. I think we're surviving life. I think we're surviving technology. I think we're surviving. Television. I think we're surviving commercials. Call 1-800-629-5900. That's 1-800-629-5800. That's what I'm surviving.
Yeah.
I'm surviving the dishes that clank in the sink. It drives me crazy. I'm surviving people on motorcycles that go. Rah, rah, rah. I'm surviving that. That's what I'm surviving. Man, I'm surviving just trying to walk without bumping my foot on something. I mean, it's just life in general. I mean, I'm trying to survive it. I'm trying to survive my body, you know, falling apart. When you get older, your body starts falling apart. You have to fight it every day. I'm surviving, you know, keeping my armpits clean and my mouth clean and my hair combed and all the upkeep you have to do of your body. And it's just ridiculous. That's what we're surviving, day after day after day after day. Solomon calls it, you know, the endless circle of life. I'm paraphrasing the guy. But he says, you know, it's the killing routine. The things happening over and over and over and again. We can't take it anymore. That's what I mean by surviving. And plus, on top of that, I'll close with this. It's 9 o'clock. Pretty good, huh? 9 o'clock. I'm closing, man. Oh, we got another question. Okay. We're surviving all that. But on top of that, I was going to say something else. And I have no idea what it was. Probably because I'm tired. It was good, too. Darn it. You have a question, sir.
Yes. In Matthew 24, Jesus talks about a great tribulation. It's going to be greater than any ever was or ever will be. And he said, except for those days should be shortened, no flesh would be saved alive.
Yes.
But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Who are these elect?
I believe he has to be talking about the saints that are going through the tribulation, the Israel saints. He's not talking about us. I don't think so, no.
It's a global conflagration. Why would he talk about just...
I agree with that, but Jesus never said anything about the body of Christ while he was on earth. Remember, even Nicodemus, he said, I tell you of the true restoration, and you're not believing. What if I were to tell you of the celestial? So I don't think Jesus let go any secret concerning the body of Christ or the celestial world.
It's such a huge thing, though, to have the time cut short. But for these elect, and we don't hear very much about them.
Yeah, right? Well, I think that those that elect are the 100, are those who are going through the tribulation, the vast throng, and the 144,000. Well, they're sealed, but we're gone.
Yeah, we're, I know that, so it can't be us. But
I really don't think it could be us.
Me. Who could be?
Well, I think we know this. All of Christianity is going to be remaining on the earth after the snatching away. 3 years after the snatching away, they're still going to be waiting for the snatching away. I feel terrible about that. It hurts my heart, really. Yeah. Because, you know, there's some good people here. And they're going to be, the love of many will wax cold. It's a tragedy. They're going to be waiting for it. And they're going to think God disappointed them. They're going to think God forgot them and left them. And then they're going to have to hear, I never knew you. And they work their whole lives. And they take care of the Sunday school. And it's just tragic. It's crying shame. It is. And those are the ones who are going to be going through the tribulation. Unless they're graced enough to die before then, you know. Blessed are those who die, you know. There's a scripture verse in the book of Revelation. Blessed are those who die before the one of this last trumpet or something. Is it? Blessed are the dead, you know. Yeah, I can. Yes, sir.
Hey there. So, on that topic about Christians and the circumcision evangel, I wanted to know your thought on... Now, I would say that the majority of Christians are not actually living the way the circumcision epistles say to live. But there does seem to be a remnant, and I know some of them personally, who, despite the doctrine issues, they seem to be walking the walk, in the sense they're helping those around them who are in need. They're visiting the widows. They're seeking the Lord before making decisions, as James teaches. Do you think that they could be believers in the circumcision gospel?
Yes, definitely. But the whole Concordant Publishing concern would be against me on that one. But I believe that these Christians are hungry for the circumcision gospel. They love Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. They love James. They love miracles. They love all the Israel things. And you say, but they're still doing a lot of things wrong. That backs up my contention that they're Israel. You know, because whenever has Israel done anything right? Why would we look for Israelites to be doing anything right? They do everything wrong. Everything wrong. So of course they're going to be misguided. Of course they're going to be misfiring every time they shoot, you know. But it's because there is a remnant. Some of them are more serious than others. There's some very serious Israel types who really are, you know. Now, I'm not talking about traditional Jews. I'm not talking about Orthodox Jews. I'm talking about Christians who are serious about the Israelite message, and they really try to do it. They try to do the law. They're totally misguided. But I think that the tribulation's for them. I think that they're going to wake up and they're going to realize when the tribulation starts, holy shit, we're the people and the games are over. We're the people and the games are over. And I think that the tribulation is going to try them and it's going to bring them to their calling. And I think many of them might be part of the vast throng mentioned by John in the Revelation. There's 144,000, 12,000 from every tribe sealed. There's also a vast throng that John saw, along with 144,000. I think these come from out of Christianity. And they're going to be left standing after we're snatched away. And they're going to realize, it's going to hit them that they're in the freaking tribulation. But the Spirit of God is going to move. And he's going to call the winds. He's going to winds from the north, south, east, west. And he's going to bring his people. And there is going to be, remember I told you all bets were off? After the snatching away happens and the tribulation happens, we have dual events. One concerning the heavens, one concerning the earth. Us, the snatching away, and the tribulation on earth is going to change everything. And the game is on then. And God is going to be working supernatural miracles like he did in the early days. And people are going to be getting instant recognition of who they are in Christ. Like the tongues of fire on the heads of the apostles in that upper room. The entire earth is going to be an upper room. And the true Israel are scattered all over the face of the earth. God said that. I will scatter the house of Israel among all the nations of the earth. And they're lost even to themselves. Their identity is lost even to themselves. They don't know who they are. But they have they have a response, right? Right? They have a response to the circumcision. They have a response to Jewish feast. They have it in them. They don't understand it. They can't do it. There's no temple. Can't do the law. They try to do the law. They're failures. But when that tongues of fire, I mean, it might be literal tongues of fire. Again, all the rules are off, man. When the tribulation starts, it's going to be supernatural awakening. Because Israel's going to be reborn in a day. Shall a nation be born in a day? It's going to happen. In a literal day, and when the time leading up to that, these people are going to be getting supernatural revelations. They won't be sitting in a classroom talking like this. It'll be, boom, the Spirit of God is going to make them aware of who they are. And they're going to be mighty, and they're going to be powerful. And some of them will be giving their lives for the faith. They'll be beheaded, but it'll be a royalty to be beheaded. It will be a great thing. The blood of the saints, John sees, right, in a figure. The souls under the altar crying out for vengeance. Because they were killed during the tribulation, after they woke up and realized who they were. We're long lost Israelites. We are actually truly Israel blood, they will say. And they'll be right, because God scattered the house of Israel all over the place. The northern tribes, not the southern tribes. And so, yes, yeah, great question. I've always believed that. And the Concordant says, you know, Knock and the Concordant Publishing concerns that anybody who believes today is automatically in the body of Christ, no matter how ignorant they are. No matter how much they love James, no matter how much they hate Paul, they're still in the body of Christ. They don't believe anything Paul says. How are they in the body of Christ? You know, and so, but they love Israel. No, they're in the body of Christ. They're just ignorant body of Christ people. No, I say they're legitimate Israel people, but they're not doing the law. They're not doing anything right. And again, I say, when has Israel ever done anything right? That's more evidence that they're Israelites. But they're screwing up all left and right. I told you they were Israelites.
Yeah.
One more thing. Up on the top.
Who? Question, yes.
Bethany. On your...
Oh, sorry. Bethany. Actually, this is not from Bethany. Sorry for the shitty handwriting. No, it's really good. You should see mine. You should see mine. I'll show you mine later. Yeah. I know signs are for Israel, but is it possible, since all is of God, that's a good qualifier there, that he could give us individual ones to make it known he is thinking of us. For example, there are certain numbers that show up for me during good times and bad. 36, 37, 38 on clocks, license plates, video time stamps, etc. When there is a toxic person in my life, I will see 36 everywhere. I think you're gifted. No, I'm dead serious. I think you're gifted. Because numbers are spiritual. God invented numbers, and every number means something. When I'm focusing on God and the saints, I will see 37 and 38. Am I reading into this too much? Maybe, but I'm not discounting it either. Also, are we the saints spoken of who return with Christ? That's a good question. No. We could, but Jude says, I think it's Jude chapter 14, I saw the Lord returning among his saints, among thousands of his saints, 10,000 of his saints. I think the King James says with 10,000 of his saints. Yes. But I think the Concordance says among 10,000 of his saints. So he's not coming with saints, he's coming among them. In other words, there's going to be a greeting party. And why wouldn't there be? Here he comes. the fabled second coming of Christ. And it's like Close Encounters of the Third Kind, you know? And they all are there to greet him.
2 Thessalonians 1 says, we are going to be at rest with him when he's revealed from heaven with his mighty messenger.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. You folks want one verse that proves you're not going to be here for the tribulation? I'll give you the strongest verse I know of in Scripture. Thanks for bringing that up. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. A display of the just judging of God. He's talking about the Thessalonians. I mean, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. He's talking about the just judging of God coming to those people who are afflicting the Thessalonians. We have affliction too, but apparently these people were being really harshly afflicted. For your endurance and faith in all your persecutions and the afflictions with which you are bearing, a display of the just judging of God, to deem you worthy of the kingdom of God. Listen to this. For which you are suffering also, if so be that it is just of God to repay affliction. This is our apostle of grace. And he's saying God's going to repay affliction to those afflicting you. And to you who are being afflicted, ease with us. Ease. E-A-S-E. Ease. An easy time. Ease with us at the unveiling of the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven with his powerful messengers in flaming fire, dealing out vengeance to those who are not acquainted with God and those who are not obeying the evangel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, we're going to have ease at, that's the key word, at the unveiling of Jesus Christ, we'll be at ease. When Christ is unveiled, we won't be here. I think this is the unveiling of the beginning of the, maybe the bowls, and not necessarily his actual return to the Mount of Olives. Anybody have further questions?
Real quick.
Real quick. This one's going to be real quick. Yes, sir.
Since since death isn't defeated until after the millennial kingdom, will I still be able to enjoy steak and chicken wings during the millennial kingdom?
Actually, death isn't defeated until after the fifth eon. So you'll be able to enjoy steaks and wings during the fifth eon.
All right. That's all
but there won't be any death on the new earth, so you have to get a doggy bag from the old earth.
Well, that's what I was wondering.
Yeah. Okay. You just have to get a doggy bag and transfer it from the old earth to the new earth. Because okay. There's going to be no death on the new earth.
So, I told you it was an easy one.
That was an easy one.
Yeah. I got four more.
No more for you. You're done.